the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, everybody, welcome to the Monday Morning Podcast. Aqib Talib will stop by. He's got five games he wants to talk about. Let me, off the top, talk about three games. Let's start Sunday night. Rams beat the Bears. Pretty competitive game for about three quarters. The Rams aren't terribly complicated in terms of why they acquired Matt Stafford. They wanted to be more explosive, more consistently explosive, and they averaged about 9 yards a play for most of the game. They went and acquired DeSean Jackson, home run hitter, speed receiver. They drafted a speed receiver. So they went and got two guys that could run on the outside because Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are over-the-middle guys, 9 to 15-yard guys. They wanted some home run threats. Matt Stafford also throws, got a stronger arm, throws a great ball, over-the-top ball. And that's exactly what you saw last night. Big play from Sean McVay. Les Snead and I have talked about this privately a couple times. It's nothing against Jared Goff. You know, Jared Goff put up some pretty decent numbers. He had a terrible interception against the Niners, I think, in the second quarter. But by and large, was fine, given his protection and limited weapons with the Lions. But, you know, the Rams got Stafford for the reason you saw Sunday night. By the way, the Bears started Andy Dalton for mostly the reasons you also saw last night. They didn't want a rookie quarterback, SoFi Stadium. You know, they probably knew they weren't going to be able to contain this offense. They didn't want him in a shootout to get beat up, unraveled, exposed. And so you bring in Andy Dalton, who doesn't throw the ball down the field terribly well. But for most of the game, for three quarters of the game, you sort of got what you get with Andy Dalton. This was a tough early opening game for the Bears, whether it was Andy Dalton or Justin Fields. My guess is Justin Fields is going to start, if not next week, the week after. I don't think Chicago feels like a playoff team to me. I have questions. I think their front office is pretty suspect. I like Matt Nagy. I really do. Protege of Andy Reid. I think he's pretty clever. He got Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs twice. That in itself is quite an accomplishment. Mitch Trubisky, in my opinion, and the opinion of every executive or scout I've ever known, is a backup quarterback. Should have never been taken in the first round. He was a late second, early third round quarterback. So, you know, my feeling on Sunday night is you kind of saw, I thought it would be a closer football game. And for about three quarters, it was. I didn't think Dalton was the problem. I thought the reality was Matt Stafford mostly had a lot of time to throw and picked apart a pretty so-so secondary for the Bears. But I thought you were looking at one of the six or seven best teams in the league and a team that feels like 7-10. All right, let's go to Baker Mayfield against Patrick Mahomes. I thought the game, 34-26 was my prediction, fairly close on that. You know, one of the things about quarterbacks in this league, the great quarterbacks, the real difference between a good quarterback and a great quarterback, a competent quarterback and an exceptional quarterback is just this. How good are you when everybody in the stadium knows you have to throw? Listen, Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl when he had a running game. Sam Darnold was pretty good yesterday with Christian McCaffrey and with a lead. The great quarterbacks in the NFL play from behind. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. So yesterday in the first half, I know Brown fans, look at Baker. Baker played with a lead. Baker had a running game. The defense didn't know if Baker was handing the ball off or throwing. That element of surprise makes almost every competent quarterback in this league look really well. I also thought the Browns' first half play calling was magnificent. I thought Sean Payton and the Saints and Kevin Stefanski in the first half, great play calling, master's class. But in the second half of that football game, Patrick Mahomes, everybody in the stadium knew he had to throw, and he was magnificent. Baker Mayfield in the second half when he fell behind, and everybody in the stadium on that last drive knew he's got to throw. Bad judgment, threw a pick. I didn't think Baker was bad yesterday. But the difference is Mahomes won a Super Bowl and trailed in every round of the playoffs. In fact, at one point, 24-0 to Deshaun Watson, and trailed in the Super Bowl before he beat the Niners. What makes Mahomes special? The score is irrelevant. He's great when he leads. He's great when he trails. He's great when he trails 24-0. That's really the difference between Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Lamar's wildly effective with a lead. Not so much when he trails. Sam Darnold with Christian McCaffrey and a lead. Baker Mayfield. And I'm not saying Baker right now is in the same class as Darnold. He has proven to be a better quarterback. But at the end of that game, when Kansas City in the stadium knows Baker has to throw with 2 minutes left, that's when I think he's a fairly average quarterback. That he's not a Rodgers. He's not a Mahomes. He's not a Russell Wilson. He's not a Brady. He's probably not a Dak. In fact, if you look around the NFL in the tiers, remember that thing we talked about in the herd about a month ago? Mike Sando does the quarterback tiers. It's my favorite quarterback piece, quarterback ranking piece of the year. He talks to 50 executives. Baker Mayfield was about 15th to 18th best. He was in the Kirk Cousins range. Now, I think he has a livelier arm than Kirk Cousins, but I think that's sort of what he is. Dak Prescott was rated higher. So in the end, Patrick Mahomes did what he does. Second half, everybody knew he had to throw. Linebackers drop right into coverage. He is completely, utterly unaffected. That's why he's Mahomes. All right, let's talk Mac Jones of the Patriots against Tua. That game pretty much looked exactly what I thought it would look like. One of the reasons I did not bet that game, I said it's going to be played mostly between the 20s, between two of the top five defensive coaches in the NFL. Both teams have excellent secondaries, pretty consistent pass rushes. And with Will Fuller out, the Dolphins didn't have a lot of over-the-top weapons. To me, Mac Jones outplayed Tua, but Tua won the football game. Tua made a tremendously poor throw late in the game. It was intercepted by New England, but they couldn't take advantage of it. Also, first pro game for Mac Jones. I think Mac and Tua are largely one of the same. They are at their best when they don't have to get in shootouts, fairly low ceilings, when they are asked to accurately throw a football, preferably on play action, to a schemed open receiver. I think they both have some leadership skills. I think they both throw a nice football. They throw a soft, catchable football. Neither is overly athletic. Neither has a huge arm. Both are considered pretty accurate, deep ball throwers. But they're kind of the same guy. If you watched Miami and New England play, and Miami has had New England's number last couple of years, if you watch them play, they're kind of the same football team. In fact, I predicted this year that New England would look a lot like Miami last year. The difference is I think Miami this year has more dynamic wide receiver options. Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle, they already have Devontae Parker. But that game looked a lot like what I think you thought it would look like, what I thought it would look like. Lower ceiling quarterbacks, accurate throwers, Tua made the bigger mistake, but wasn't punished for it. I thought Mac Jones overall played really, really well. There was an interesting moment when Mac Jones threw his first career touchdown pass to Nelson Aguilar. Aguilar chased him down and tried to give it to Mac Jones. He gave it back to Aguilar. Aguilar tried again to give it to Mac Jones, and he pushed it away. That reminds me a lot of Dak Prescott in his rookie year. Do you guys remember this? When he walked by a garbage can on the sideline, and he threw a cup at it, and it didn't go in the garbage, and he stopped in his track, turned around, grabbed the cup, and threw it in the garbage with nobody really watching. And it was this sort of conscientious move. You know, they always say, how people act when nobody's looking is kind of who they are. Now, you could say to yourself, well, Colin, what do you mean nobody's looking? Well, the fact there's a game going on and Dak throws a paper cup, a Gatorade cup, it misses and he walks over and puts it away. It said something about conscientious, his preparation, how he wants to be viewed by people, how he wants to be thought of and how he acts. I thought Mac Jones taking the game ball and giving it to somebody else, I thought sent a message. And what he's basically saying is, listen, I'm paid to throw touchdown passes. It's early in the game. It's insignificant. I don't matter. We do. It's not a big deal. But it does, like Dak in the paper cup, it does tell you about sort of a conscientious, responsible, adult view of their position. I liked it a lot. Mac played better, 201. That's why the NFL's great, folks. The best-looking team I saw all weekend was the Philadelphia Eagles, and the worst-looking team I saw was Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. That's why the NFL is unpredictable and incredible. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, I think something has to be addressed about Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay's performance. Of all the teams I saw lose, they look totally unprepared. Now think about this. The team that was displaced, the Saints, look completely buttoned up. So Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers both had a dispute with management at about the same time. Russell Wilson got it closed, amended, fixed within 2 weeks. He then had what his agent Mark Rodgers told me was the greatest 3 months of preparation for a season in his career. And we know he already works hard. Aaron did not, after his dispute, solve it. He went to Hawaii, hung out with friends, tried out for Jeopardy. It's not saying he doesn't work out, but he acknowledged he did a lot of things that weren't football. And there's an old saying among basketball coaches, players win in the off season, teams win during the season, meaning the guys who come most prepared, that's your classic Tom Brady, who have their legs. I mean, Big Ben has never worked out terribly hard. What happens? Starts the season fine. Week 12, 13, 14, he loses his legs. There's fatigue. Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson had the same dilemma. One guy, and people think with Russell, sometimes it's corny. He's Mr. Optimistic, Mr. Rah-Rah, too collegiate, whatever. He looked fantastic. He looked to be totally focused. Seattle's offense was on the road, completely slick. Offensive line, running game, Russell, Tyler Lockett, Green Bay, unprepared. This falls on Aaron. Aaron spent the entire offseason reminding everybody that he doesn't truly need football. He just decided at the end to come back. Well, football doesn't need Aaron either. It's better with him. But let's be honest, most of you watch Cleveland and Kansas City, the ratings show that. So, you know, I think this has always been my issue with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron can pretend he's the team guy. Aaron's into Aaron. Aaron's about Aaron. And this is why Vegas only had them as a 10-win team. It's why I only have them as a 10-win team. I don't really see them as a Super Bowl contender. And I think Russell and Aaron are two totally different personalities, and both were illustrated right up front yesterday. Russell was completely focused. Aaron was a bad body language mess. I know y'all love Aaron, but you know, the longer I see him, the more I see him, it's one of these, he's telling you how much he really cares about anything beyond himself, and it's not much. I said this when he complained this offseason. What are you telling your teammates when you announce publicly, I'm 50-50, I could retire? Are you kidding me? What are you telling me as a rookie? What are you telling me as a receiver? Sometimes you keep things to yourself. And Aaron can really be a hypocrite. So he announces this offseason that the loudest guy isn't the right guy. There's wisdom in silence. Yeah, how about eating those words? How about not acknowledging publicly, I'm 50-50. I was going to quit. I'm going to play. I said it when he said it. I said it in the herd. I said it on radio. I said it on TV. Jaw-droppingly bad judgment. If wisdom comes in silence, you don't have to tell us everything you're thinking. Do not announce you're 50-50 on retirement. And I thought Green Bay looked like Aaron acknowledged he was 50-50 on retirement. That's what they looked like. They were the only team I saw. I mean, we know Jacksonville's bad. They didn't look unprepared. They're bad. Green Bay looked completely unprepared. Aqib Talib stopping by today, the multiple-time Pro Bowler. Got a Super Bowl. Let's bring him in. All right, Aqib Talib. So let's first address Cleveland, Kansas City. And, you know, Aqib, sometimes fans don't think about, you know, adjustments and halftime adjustments. So Cleveland, with excellent play calling, had the Chiefs totally on their heels.
Right.
And then they came out in the second half far more aggressive, and then Cleveland got a little conservative, and it's a different ball game. But it when I watched it, you know, my takeaway was that's a tough spot for Cleveland. They don't have a winning franchise. They lead at halftime. This is the most dynamic offense. And I thought Cleveland got a little conservative in the second half with their play calling. What was your takeaway?
I mean, I think it's hard not to get conservative when you got those backs, right? It's hard with that O-line and them backs. If I'm up like the Browns was up, how can I not get conservative, right? That's kind of what we was doing to get to this point, play actions, faking it like we was going to get to these guys. So, man, it's just hard to beat the Chiefs, man. It's they can score like this. You had the botched punt, you know what I'm saying, and gave them the short field. So it's just hard to beat the Chiefs, but I think Cleveland played it right.
NFL's back, baby, and FanDuel Sportsbooks want you to get the most out of every game with the same game parlays. This is what they're known for at FanDuel. Same game parlays. I love it. You can bet the game, props, same time during a game. And that's what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook. Combine props with other bets, score an even bigger payout. By the way, one of the reasons I love FanDuel, one of the reasons I have a deal with FanDuel, easy payouts, easy to use, safe and secure, same game parlays. That's their best stuff. America's number one sportsbook. New to FanDuel, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Risk-free $1,000 bet. Sign up, promo code Colin. If your first bet loses, get up to $1,000 back in site credit. Promo code Colin. 21 plus and present in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, Virginia, and West Virginia. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See all terms at sportsbookfanduel.com. Gaming problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, or Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
No, you know, the thing about Cleveland is that, as you know, you can't overcome bad coaching. Like, I do feel like Stefanski, when I watch them, they play with a purpose. I can tell what they're trying to do. They picked on the right side of the Chiefs defensive front for most of the game. That was all, and it worked, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with Kansas City, is their offense so good to you, Aqib, that, like, as a defender, when you played a great offense, and maybe you only played two or three in your career, does it change the way you defend? Did it change your game plans?
Yeah, hell yeah, it changed your game plan, because you got to have multiple game plans to stop the multiple offenses that they can run, right? So it takes longer to get ready for those kind of offenses, and you just got to be prepared for them. And preparing for them is so hard because they can attack you in so many different ways. So it's hard to play zone against them. It's hard to play man against them because the matchup. So it's definitely going to change the way you prepare for them.
So I want to pivot to Miami, New England. I actually thought Mac Jones played really well for a rookie. Now, again, if you didn't watch that game, you don't know that Tua made a terrible interception late, but it didn't cost him. When I sat and watched that game, and kind of my takeaway was Mac Jones was the best rookie quarterback I saw. I thought he played, I got to be honest, Brian Flores' defense, their corners, they take away your receivers. I mean, you've got to do other things. I thought Mac Jones was surprisingly good for his first NFL snaps.
He definitely was the best quarterback on the field. And he had the game won, Colin. He had it won. Xavier Howard pulled the fumble out, but if he would have had that game-winning drive and the win, he would have had a much better Monday than he going to have. But he definitely came out and played his butt off, man, and he showed he could be the starter. So I like what I've seen from Mac Jones as well.
What do you make of Tua? What'd you make? I mean, listen, he's obviously capable. He's accurate. But they're just, boy, I don't see a lot of special. I just see it's got to be designed perfectly.
Man, I think I always say winning is a skill. That's what I always say, right, Colin? That winning is a skill. Some guys just, it might don't care how it look. They always seem to come out with W's, whether, I don't know what it is about him, but he just know how to win games, Colin. And today he got another win. He ain't play that good, but he ain't play bad enough to lose the game neither. And that's going to be one of the best defenses in the league. The Patriots, they got a good defense. That defense is going to get better and better as the season go on. They got a lot of athletes, a lot of bodies on that defense. So Tua, he just know how to win games.
We know that New England will get, Mac Jones will get better over the course of the next 16 weeks. Do you think Miami can get better, or what we saw, that's pretty much what they are?
I think they'll get better. Yeah, everybody will get better. As this thing get rolling, the teams who stay healthy, they'll get better. The teams who get worse will be the teams who lose guys and, you know, stuff like that. So the Dolphins will definitely get better.
Arizona, Tennessee. My big concern with Ryan Tannehill was this, is that his career, you know, he was kind of flailing, and then he got Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. And, you know, listen, coordinators matter. You're talented enough that a coordinator isn't going to change the trajectory of Aqib Talib's career. But for a quarterback that's solid, if you get a McVay or a Shanahan or maybe an Arthur Smith, it changes the trajectory of your career. So he leaves and he takes the Atlanta Falcons job. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to win immediately as a head coach, but he was a hell of a coordinator. And when I watched Tennessee today, maybe it was the lack of returning starters. Maybe it was just Kyler Murray getting in a lead and putting pressure on them. Like, what jumped out to you?
Really, I thought it was Arizona stopped the run. They did a good job stopping Derrick Henry early. He didn't have big runs to, I think, like third quarter, maybe. He didn't have too many big runs. So I give credit to that Cardinals defense, man. Xavier Collins was in there. Isaiah Simmons was moving around everywhere. Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt came and played the hell out the run. So you really could see the change in their defense. So throw J.J. Watt on that D-line, you know you're going to be able to stop the run. So I think that's what the difference was. Arizona was stopping Derrick Henry. And you know, it made him do other things.
Do you like Kyler Murray?
I love Kyler Murray, man. I love Kyler Murray. He put on another show today. This Cardinal team is special, Colin. You see, I keep on talking about these Cardinals. They special. They got something going. I think they've been right there on the cusp. But, you know, as he played with Kingsbury and this their third year together, I think, you know, they on their way now. They finally turned that corner. And Kyler's special. This is going to be an MVP-type season for Kyler, I think.
They do have some players that are like different level. Kyler, DeAndre, Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt. Yeah, they got like five dudes that are elite dudes. So they're like Seattle, they're star power. Buda Baker. They got like six dudes that are Pro Bowl level dudes.
Right.
And they're a little like Seattle. I don't know how deep they are, but their top 6 to 7 players are complete ballers.
I mean, that line is better. Beecham went down today. But look, Beecham go down, you got Justin Murray could come in. He a guy who started games, who played guard, tackle. So I think they deep. You got two running backs. You got four receivers, really. A.J. Green, Moore, Kirk, and Hop, of course. So I think they pretty deep. So long as Kyler is in there and he can run the show, I think they got all the rest of the pieces. And I was nervous about their cornerbacks. That's what I was really nervous about. How was their cornerbacks going to play? And their cornerbacks came out, they tackled good, and they played good enough coverage. So I like it.
Next up, Packers Saints. So I'm going to throw something at you. So both Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers were pissed at management. Russell buttoned his up in about 2 weeks, immediately pivoted to what his agent Mark Rodgers told me was the best offseason of his career. He said, Colin, he's never worked this hard. And right. Russell is like Brady. He's totally committed. So he had an issue with management. They solved it quickly. He pivoted to Mr. Positivity and worked his butt off. Aaron had a problem with management. He's still talking about it 2 days ago. He didn't work terribly hard. He said he wanted to get away from football. And I honestly, when I watched them today, I didn't think Aaron played particularly well. I didn't think the team looked prepared. Yeah. Now, maybe it's, but I mean, Russell and Aaron, about the same time, had an issue. One of them, solve it, let's go, get in great shape, all full steam ahead. Aaron's bagging on the Packers 2 weeks ago. He's bagging on them last week. And to me, Aqib, there's something there. Like, you got this game's too hard to be worried about anything other than playing the game.
Exactly. And building that vibe, man. If the vibe not really there, you ain't been here. You can kind of feel the friction in the air. It's hard to win like that, Colin. It's hard. That's why you see them championship teams be the teams who are the closest. They act like college teams, right? So you can get, they just look off a little bit. You could tell the Packers were just off a little bit. It was lethargic a little bit. So Saints came out and they was ready to go. The Saints looked like a team who went through the whole offseason together and they got great camaraderie. They playing fast. They celebrating together. So that's how you win football games right there.
Now, that's interesting you say celebrating together, because I thought Jameis played really well.
Yes, Jameis played great.
and Aqib, he was playing his ass off all off season because he was trying to win the job. So he's in the best shape of his life. That's the best shape I've ever seen Jameis Winston in his career. And I thought, you talk about celebrating. I thought the camaraderie.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great by the Saints. You could see it in the side.
That's something that Jameis going to bring to the team. That's a plus that come with Jameis. They know you're going to have great camaraderie. You're going to have that on the sideline. So Jameis, no, man, started in the offseason. You got to win the job first. Now he's trying to really win the job and get that future deal and be the Saints quarterback going forward. And you know what come with that. That's shit like $200 million at this point. So shit, we know what Jameis playing for. He know what he playing for.
All right. Finally, Philadelphia, Atlanta. I said this. The NFL's crazy. Buffalo and Green Bay got manhandled and Philadelphia was brilliant.
Yes, sir.
and you know, it's so funny because we know they have good tight ends like we do. And we know their offensive line, when healthy, is strong. But I got to tell you something. I thought they looked crisp, well coached. I thought Jalen played really well. I thought their young receivers, like they can play. Rieger can play. Devontae Smith can play. What was you love Philadelphia today.
I love Philadelphia, man. I've been on Philadelphia and the Cardinals. That's them, the two teams I think they're going to surprise a lot of people this year. But with that O-line in Philly, if that O-line is healthy and Jalen Hurts is under center, man, they're going to be able to run the ball like they did, and they're going to protect him. He's going to be able to throw the ball around. He got young guys, like you said, who can make plays. Devontae Smith, they got a real number one receiver now. So I like what Philly got going, man. They got Slay on defense. As long as you got somebody who can contend with your number one guy, Slay can follow your number one guy around, slow him down. They got a great front seven. So, and a great D-line. I love what they got in Philly. I like what they got going, as long as they stay healthy.
You know, the coach has never been a play caller before. I don't know how good their coach is, but I will say this, that generally speaking, it's hard to be a bad team with a good offensive line. And today, I thought the offensive line controlled the game. By the way, I thought the Seahawks offensive line was better than the Colts today. Mm-hmm. I thought the Chargers offensive line, they got that ball with 6 minutes back, 6 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. They never gave it back to Washington. Today was a day where offensive lines won the day. The Saints offensive line today, Aqib.
Dominated.
And by the way, the Browns dominated in the first half, the O-line, and the Chiefs O-line was better in the second half.
Yep. But if you think about it, Colin, it's always like that. You can say that about every game. The team who win, they offensive line probably set the tone and dominated that game. So it all started up front, man. That's one of the little cliche sayings in football, but it's true. All the little cliches is cliches for a reason, because they got a little truth to them, man. So it always started up front, and you can say that just about in every game.
Okay, Monday Night Football, Raiders, Baltimore. Baltimore's had three huge losses. So you tell me, you have three starters lose in a week before a game. Can Baltimore overcome that?
Some teams can't overcome that. That's super tough. But I think if any team can, man, it's the teams like Baltimore. It's those teams who own the rise. They've been there for a while. They got a good group of leaders on their team, nice vets mixed with young guys. That's kind of what Baltimore is. So if anybody could overcome it, it'd be hard. But a team like Baltimore, a team like Pittsburgh, they'd be able to do it.
Finally, best team you saw including Tampa, Dallas, Thursday, best team you saw. And we're doing this before the Bears, Rams. So I want to say that. Best team you saw this weekend and why?
Well, I would say Tampa, but I thought that kind of, you know, he put a little pressure on that secondary. I thought that secondary played a little bit better, but Dak is proven. He turned in that corner, man. Dak doing something for real. So that took Tampa off. I got to ride with Arizona. I'm going to ride with the Cardinals. I think their defense came out. They stopped Derrick Henry. And the safeties didn't have to really get involved in it. They kind of stopped them with the guys up front. J.J. Watt, Isaiah Simmons, and, you know, the young guy, Zaven Collins. So I think they did a good job on defense. We know what they got on offense. Hop came out, did his thing like regular. Kyler Murray came out, did his thing like regular. But I think that defense stepped up, got a turnover today, couple turnovers a day. Chandler Jones went crazy. He showed he back. He want that check as well. So I got to ride with Arizona, man. They jumped off the tape to me.
Think about them. Buda Baker, Chandler Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, Kyler Murray, A.J. Green. That's like six elite players in this league. If right. A.J.'s healthy, that's as many as Seattle has.
And they might have a couple in 6 years. They going to be around there. The Isaiah Simmons and Collins, and they got and Rondale Moore. They got a couple guys who could be like that. You know, Kyler Murray. You know what I'm saying? They got some young names who in 6 years could be those guys.
All right, Akeem. Good stuff. Good talking to you.
Appreciate it, Colin, always.
You bet.
Volume.